Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is the gospel reading, Jesus and the Devil. Let us pray. Lord, you teach us that we cannot live on mere bread alone, but we live on your word. Give us your life-giving, powerful, strong word. Strengthen our faith. Draw us close to you. Help us. Have mercy on us. Bless the preaching, the hearing now of the word, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll begin with a question. What do Americans value more than anything else? All Americans, what do we value more than anything else? Number one on the list, family. Not God, sadly. Not job, not money, but family. We all value our families. What struck me is what's number two on the list, right behind number one. Secondly, what do Americans really, really value? Not God, sadly. Not money, not job, not health. But the number two thing mentioned is time. We are people that really, really value our time. It is said years ago, people would spend time to save money. Some of you are like that. You'll spend extra time to save a buck. But nowadays, most people, young people, will spend money to save time. Thus, fast food, fast everything, because I need it right now. Time. Time's important in Lent, very special time of the year, as we draw to Easter. In the gospel lesson today, I think we read of two figures that are very good at using their time. Time's of the essence. First of all, of course, we think of the devil. Don't want to say a whole lot about a devil, but he is our enemy. We should know some things about the enemy. And the devil really is an opportunist. He makes pretty good use of his time for evil. We read at the end of the text, after he's done tempting Jesus and he's defeated, he doesn't give up. All right, I'm done with that. He's going to seek another opportune time to tempt again. He's always looking for another time. There's another time. He's a real very opportunistic, isn't he, with his time. We learn in this text, this is a secondary teaching of this text, is the devil. There really is a devil, and he's our enemy. And this is all secondary, but needs to be spoken about for a couple minutes. We learn when he tempts. Now, he tempts all the time. But when especially will he attack? He will attack when you're alone. Jesus is all alone. He is the lamb who's away from the flock. We all know a wolf or lions will really attack an animal that's left the flock. Christ is alone. Beware of loneliness, folks. Beware of being the stray sheep. You're out there for the devil to grab. This is why we need the church and need each other. Eve was alone when the devil tempted. Peter, who denied the Lord three times, he was alone away from the other disciples and the Lord, and the devil tempted him, and he denied the Lord three times. Beware of loneliness. We need the church. We need Christian friends. We need each other. He also attacks. He tempts when we're weak and tired. Christ is being tempted the entire 40 days, but it appears the temptation really intensifies as it gets near the end. He's weak. He hasn't eaten. He's tired. Beware of that. When we're weak and tired, he'll tempt, try to make things easy for us. Do this now to satisfy yourself. And he tempts also, it seems, when we have just experienced a spiritual high. Jesus has just had a spiritual high. He's just been baptized. What a great day for Jesus to be baptized. The heavens opened, the Spirit descended, the voice of the Father. A great spiritual high for the man Jesus, we might say. Right after that, out in the desert, temptation. This, by application, could mean watch out after you leave church. We receive the word of God. We rejoice. We're on a spiritual high. Forgiveness, word, sacrament. We're with God's people. But as we leave, he waits to say, forget all this stuff. You put in your hour for God. The rest of the week is yours. Now do as you please. It's kind of like Tennessee blew out Kentucky. Great high for the basketball team. Beware of the next game. You let your guard down. You think you're really, really hot stuff now. Beware. That's when he tempts along with every other time. How does he tempt? He tempts in many ways, but two stand out to me from the text. He tempts us to question who we are, to doubt who we are. Notice he begins temptations of Jesus. If you really are the Son of God, if you're really the Son of God, if you're the Son of God, he wants Jesus to doubt who he is. If you're really God's son, why are you out in the desert starving? Why isn't God taking care of you? Why are you hungry? Why are you out here? Why aren't you popular and powerful and famous if you're really God's son? Just who are you, buddy? You're not God's son, or you wouldn't be suffering like this. Come on. And God and the devil does the same thing with us. If you're really God's child, you're really a child, you're really baptized, you're God's child, why are you suffering? Why'd you lose your job? God really love you? Why do you have cancer? Why are you dying? Why do you have so much pain when you wake up in the morning? Why so many troubles in life? If you're really God's child, God, why isn't God taking care of you if you're really God's child? Why doesn't God love you more and make it all better if you're really God's child? He ever tempts us to doubt who we are. Same with Jesus. He also tempts us to think too highly of ourselves. On the one side, doubt who we are, doubt ourselves. On the other side, to serve ourselves and be selfish. Because if God won't take care of me, I got to take care of myself and be selfish. And the three temptations are all teaching Jesus or trying to tempt Jesus to avoid the cross. You don't need a cross, Jesus. You're not here to sacrifice yourself. Don't go to the cross and suffer and die. Be selfish, Jesus. Think of yourself. God, the Father's not taking care of you. You got to take care of yourself. So turn the stone into bread. This is the temptation of pleasure. You know, have pleasure. Simple pleasures. Gluttony, eat. Have whatever you want. It's about you after all. Pleasure. The temptation to bow down and have the world. The temptation for power. God, the Father's not giving you any power, really. What power are you exhibiting right now? So bow down, I'll give you the whole world. You have power. Be selfish. Have power in your life. Reign over other people. Rule. And then popularity, jump down from the temple. The angels will protect you. And if you jump down, all the people around the temple go, wow, look at that miracle. Wow, look at Jesus. The temptation for popularity, which was really there for Jesus all the time. He did miracles. Popular, you're famous. Wow, we love you. Let's make you king and manipulate you like we do all the other kings. Power, popularity, pleasure, selfishness. I read where there was a secretary of state in a certain state who had to give out license plates. And they had a lot of people that requested the number one for a license plate. Who doesn't want the number one? I want number one. And a lot of people requested that number. He didn't know who to give it to. So guess who he gave it to? Himself. Good old number one. I'll be number one. That's the devil. You're number one. You're most important. Forget about other people, crosses, sacrifice. Forget about God. You take care of yourself. You're number one. And Jesus calls us this season to deny ourselves. Take up our cross and follow him and be last. For the last shall in the end be first. The devil's a real opportunistic, very opportunistic with his time. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to tempt, when to tempt, how to tempt. He's good at it. Beware, church. But the one who is really using his time well here is Jesus. Jesus is the one who's really using his time well. He knows what he's doing. I used to read this story when I was a kindergartner and think, poor Jesus. The devil's not playing fair, I used to think. You know, I was into playing fair, and the devil's not playing fair. Jesus is weak. Hasn't eaten for 40 days, and I couldn't imagine that, Pat. He's not even for 40 days? I mean, come on. He is weak, he's alone, and the devil ambushes him and attacks him. And poor Jesus, it's not fair. But praise be to God that somehow he conquers the devil and he goes on. That's amazing. And I used to think Jesus was shocked by the devil tempting him and amazed. Oh, why don't you ambush me? I didn't know you were coming. But here you are. What am I supposed to do? That's a bunch of baloney. Jesus is the one who's arranged this meeting, not the devil. Don't think the devil enticed Jesus to stray from the sheep and come out to the desert so I might get you. Notice the language. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. He's not wandering as some lost sheep. He was led by the Spirit to go out there. Why did the Spirit of God lead him to the desert? One reason is to meet the devil and to conquer the devil for us, for our confidence and our faith and our trust in him. It's Jesus, the one who has orchestrated this meeting. Christ is in control. He's using the time here to defeat Satan for us. This is the battle that he wins, which foreshadows the war he will win at the cross and resurrection. Think of it this way. I read where one of the favorite foods of a sea lion is a seagull. Now, when I read that, I asked the question, how in the world does a sea lion ever catch a seagull? Because he's a big, clumsy animal, and this is a bird that can fly. How's he ever eat a seagull? He doesn't try to crawl after the seagull on the ground and never catch it. So what the sea lion does is he goes into the ocean, and he goes under the water, and he sticks his nose out of the water, just the tip of his nose out of the ocean. So all the seagull sees is this little shiny nose. That's a fish down there. What is that? And the seagull comes swooping down to eat that fish, and what happens? The sea lion rises up and grabs him. I gotcha. And this is what God does with Satan. He dangles himself out there as a weakling. I haven't eaten for 40 days. He's enticing Satan and evil. Come, I'm this poor, pathetic little human being. Come and get me that he might conquer him quickly with three little words. It is written. It is written. It is written. Now get out of here, buddy. And I'll see you at the cross when I'll destroy you totally. The God who deceives the deceiver. The God who in weakness conquers the one who looks like he's strong. This is God's way. Even when I'm a weakling, I can conquer you. This is all to give us such confidence in him. God in his utter weakness is stronger than all of hell in their strength. I'll put my confidence in God. What a God I have. This story is read the first Sunday in Lent because it foreshadows the cross and Easter, where Jesus wins the war. Here the battle, there the war. Notice the similarities. Christ is all alone. He's all alone as he hangs on a cross. Christ here is hungry. At the cross, I thirst. He is really burdened and weak with the sins of the world. Here in Luke 4, he's in the wilderness. At the cross, I suggest he's in a real wilderness. All sorts of wild animals are after him. The Pharisees are after him. The Sadducees. The Romans, the world's after him, crucify him, a bunch of wild animals after him. All the demons of hell are after him. He's in the wilderness at the cross. But here he conquers the devil quickly. It's a big showdown, Jesus versus the devil. Wow, it's going to be some horrendous, terrific fight. No, it's not. Three little words and he's gone. It's an overwhelming victory. It's Tennessee versus Kentucky yesterday. It's a blowout victory. It's over before it even starts. That's here in Luke 4, and that's Good Friday, Easter, where in 3 days he rises after he dies to conquer all of hell. Quite swift and quick. Even in his weakness, he's stronger than the devil in all his strength. When I was a kid, I would want to arm wrestle my dad. My dad was a big, strong guy, and I was, you know, like 3, 4, 5 years old. Dad, let's arm wrestle. What would my dad do to show off a bit? Well, I'm not going to use my right hand, Paul. I'll use my weaker on my left hand. You know, my right arm's strong, but I'll use my weaker left hand. And you can use your entire body, not just your hand, but you can use both your hands and your legs, your whole body, to try to put my arm down. A little boy, I'd try to jump on my dad's arm and pull it down and pull it down. Could I do it? What would my dad do? He'd just pick my whole body up with his left hand. Just pick me up and throw me on the couch. We'd be playing a game. And I would do what? Well, my dad is strong. Even with his left hand, he can pick me up and throw me on the couch. What a strong father I have. And I love my father and trust him. And this is Jesus. Look at how strong I am. I'm a weak little man who hasn't eaten for 40 days, and yet I can cast the devil away. I'm a weak man hanging on a cross, and yet I defeat him in my resurrection. Won't you trust me and believe in me and honor me? Can't I help you when you are weak? I've been there. The devil makes good use of time. Jesus is the real one making use of the time here. And then there's you and I this Lent season. There's a third person in this story. It's you and I that get to read it. We are the spectators watching it. We get to read it. Notice how no one was out there. You had no spectators. Jesus must have taught this to the disciples, that they be the spectators. We be the spectators. We get to watch it and see it. And the question is, what are we going to do now? Jesus, right after this text, what's he do? For 3 years, he's on the move. For 3 years, he calls disciples, come follow me, come follow me, come follow. For 3 years, he preaches the kingdom. For 3 years, he's healing people here, there, everywhere. He's on the move, conquering sickness, disease, evil, death, demons. It all ends up at the cross and resurrection. And the question for us as we stand here today, the first Sunday in Lent, and we read this, the question for us is, will we follow him? Or will we forget about them? Nice show, Jesus, but I don't want you. Will we believe in him, or will we be too busy for him? Will we walk with him to his cross, or will we just watch from a distance and maybe show up on Easter for the pancakes and maybe church? What about you and I? Will we turn and repent, or will we turn away and reject him? What about us? Back in the fall, I encouraged a lot of you to get on the Notre Dame bandwagon. We were about 11-0, 12-0. Get on the Notre Dame bandwagon, I said. Many of you did not. And you thank God for that, because they crashed and burned against Alabama. That's football. This text is saying, get on the Jesus bandwagon. Get on the bandwagon. He's the winner. He's the conqueror. Get on the bandwagon. Follow. Stay close. Come along now. Come follow. It won't crash and burn. It comes to a cross. There's suffering, persecution, and death. But it ends up with a crown on Easter. The devil, good use of time. Beware. Jesus, good use of time. Better use of time. Believe. You and I. How will you use your time this Lent? May we be ready to leave and follow him. Amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.